7:35. It's Tuesday, October 12th. By the way, if you want to see what those roads look like, I strongly encourage you to text the word roads to 208-542-1079. We've got a number of traffic concerns this morning. We understand there are slide-offs on both Highway 20 as well as I-15 and other areas as too. I think the bottom line is please be cautious as you're driving today. But we want to shift gears. David Worley joins me in studio. He is running for the mayor's position in Pocatello. David, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you on. And introduce yourself to our audience, particularly those in Pocatello. A lot of people probably know who you are, but for those who don't, give us a little background on you.
Yeah, no problem. So I was actually born and raised in Pocatello. Mm-hmm. Grew up on McKinley Avenue, just down the street from Alameda Junior High. Graduated from Pocatello High School. That's actually where I met my wife, Barbara. So mm-hmm. we're both proud Pocatello Indian alumni.
Yeah.
And we both went to Idaho State University. That's where she finished up her degree. And I did a couple years there before joining the military, or actually joined the military right out of high school, but left ISU to go to Iraq. My first deployment with the Idaho National Guard. Actually joined right there in Pocatello, the first of the 148, which is a local field artillery battalion. It's headquartered there.
Yeah.
And then I served a mission for my church for a couple years mm-hmm. after the deployment to Iraq. And then Barbara and I moved out to Virginia, where we were there for 12 years, where I continued my military career, did various active duty assignments. And then about a year ago, I decided it was time to come back home.
So you came back and you decided to run for mayor, which is that's a big job and a big jump. So tell us, what was the calculus in your mind? What made you decide, I want to be the mayor of the Gate City?
So a couple different things. Some of it has to do with the reasons why we came back to Pocatello. So, you know, obviously, you know, we both grew up there. So we got friends and family, those types of connections. But we left Virginia in large part because Virginia's politics started to change really radically. And there are major infringements on freedom that were occurring there, not just due to the pandemic, but just even prior to the pandemic. If you remember, you know, one of the controversy out of Virginia last year was the governor there tried to ban about 70-80% of the guns in Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, just huge overreach by the government, just completely infringing on the Second Amendment. So we're looking at the situation and decide, you know what, maybe this isn't the place we want to raise our kids. So we came back to Idaho, hoping to find more freedom. And then saw a lot of the same restrictions that were imposed in Virginia during the pandemic were being imposed here in Idaho. And after kind of talking with, you know, various groups in the city, we decided, you know what, if we're going to fight for freedom anywhere, might as well plant our flag in our hometown. And that brought us the decision to run for mayor.
And you are running for mayor. I know that you're a conservative, but maybe apply that in a way that's kind of a practical outcome. If you were to run for mayor, what changes in Pocatello would you initiate?
Sure. So I kind of draw my entire governing philosophy directly from the founding fathers. I think you go to the Declaration of Independence. We have a pretty simple formula there when you kind of tease it out in the first couple paragraphs. There is a God, our rights come from him, and the purpose of the government is to protect those rights. And I think that directly applies to city government in two really big ways. One, I think that if you look at in terms of freedom to use your own money, Pocatello is way overtaxed.
Yeah.
And when you compare Pocatello to the surrounding communities, we have one of the highest tax rates. Matter of fact, one of the highest in the state. We pay probably the most in Southeast Idaho in property taxes per citizen. And at the same time, had the lowest median household income in Southeast Idaho. So we're just taxed way beyond our tax base. So we need to see spending reductions in the city's government so we can lower taxes and give tax relief to the people of Pocatello.
Yeah.
Now, that's kind of, you know, really local to Pocatello, but I think that there's some broader issues a lot of communities faced recently. And that is that I think the response to the pandemic infringed on a lot of people's freedoms in some significant ways. So if you look at, for example, the governor's order when it came to the business shutdowns, how can we really tell anyone that their business is non-essential? Every job and every business puts food on someone's table. And I think that we were derelict in our duties as a city to just merely be a pass-through for unconstitutional and immoral mandates that came out of Boise and Washington. So I want to restore the concept that local government has not only a right, but a moral obligation to protect their people from unconstitutional or immoral laws and mandates. So one of the commitments I've made as mayor is that regardless of how the pandemic progresses, we will never use that as a justification to pick winners and losers in the local economy and hurt people's businesses. Those decisions should be left to business owners. And there's broader freedom issues here too.
Yeah.
Like Pocatello had a mask mandate, which I think was a huge infringement on people's freedoms. And we should never use the boot of government to force people to do those types of things. Those should be personal decisions. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. If you don't want to wear one, you shouldn't be forced to.
Yeah.
And the coming vaccine mandates, you know, they are threatening people's jobs in a lot of different sectors of the economy. We can't afford to have more people out of work. And I think that instead of waiting for Washington or Boise or some court decision, we should have a local ordinance that prohibits employers from discriminating based on vaccination status. No one should live in fear of losing their job because of a personal medical decision.
So let me ask you, just I'll put up a scenario here because I certainly am familiar with Pocatello, and I know that they've had for several months last year, they had the mask mandate. What do you do if you're the mayor, but you have a 6-member council and they vote 4-2 to have a mask mandate? What latitude or authority do you believe you would have as mayor to counter that?
So that's a good point. You know, when you're mayor, you're not king of the hill. You're not the dictator of the city. You obviously have a council you got to work with. But I think something that we've lost sight of also when it comes to how, you know, our system of government from, you know, the federal government down to the local government to some extent are patterned off of that separation of powers between branches of government. In a city, the city council is basically the legislature and I'm the chief executive. One of the duties I think you have as a chief executive is you exercise enforcement discretion based on constitutional principles and issues of morality. I think that, okay, so they unanimously vote for a mask mandate. I think that that directly infringes upon the God-given rights of the people. And I can execute discretionary enforcement and say, look, okay, you can pass that, but that we're just not going to do it with our police.
Yeah.
And I'd be very public about that.
Yeah.
So when the legislature exercises its powers in a way that does not infringe on people's rights, I am bound as the mayor to enforce those laws and those policies.
Yeah.
But in cases where there's a violation, I don't think that I have to do that.
You think that's not a lawful order.
Not a lawful order, yes. It's just like how we see these conflicts sometimes happen between the Congress and the presidency at the national level. And the chief executive does have some discretionary power and enforcement if it's an violation of the Constitution.
Certainly you're aware of the split on the city council right now. You've got, I apologize. I don't know why that went off like that. But you have Chris Stevens, you've got Claudia Ortega and Roger Bray, that they've kind of created a faction of their own. There are three other council members, and then there, of course, is the mayor. What is your take on this split and how it impacts how the city operates and runs?
So generally speaking, I think that there has been, you know, an excessive amount of contention and division in the city council, and that's driven by some personality factors that it'll be interesting to see based on the outcome of the city council races, how much of that gets shook up.
Yeah.
So some of that problem, those problems might work themselves out with some of the city council races.
Yeah.
But I do think that the mayor has contributed to that contention by creating, just to be frank, you know, some issues of distrust with the mayor's office, because it is very difficult to get questions answered about budgeting, about expenditures, and he's incredibly defensive and doesn't provide clarity or an adequate response when he gets questioned about actions of his office or his employees. And that has created a lot of distrust, I think, in the council. And that, I think, that aspect of it can be remedied just by actually responding to inquiry with clear answers instead of obfuscation and blame shifting.
We just have a few more minutes. We're talking with David Worley. He's running for Pocatello mayor. By the way, his website is Worley for Mayor. That's spelled W-O-R-L-E-Y, Worley for Mayor. .com. And so David, what else? I know that you feel like there are obviously some issues with the mayor's position in Pocatello and you want to fix it. What else would you want to address with this?
So, you know, kind of going back to the last topic we talked about here, I think that the time period we live in the United States is, you know, a transition period of some type. You know, there's a lot of things been going on in the past couple of years. And I think that concept we talked about, the local government having a duty and a right to protect your freedoms from higher levels of authority. One thing that I want to do in Pocatello is I want to do for Idaho what Ron DeSantis kind of did for the nation. So Ron DeSantis in Florida showed the United States, you don't have to bow to federal mandates. You don't have to bow to federal authority. You can do things differently and actually resist, you know, infringements on your freedom. And so now when you go to, you know, a town hall with, you know, a state legislator, and a lot of people are being asked, hey, why isn't Idaho doing what Florida's doing? And that question is being asked across the United States.
Yeah.
So he kind of opened the Overton window, say, hey, you know, resistance of protecting your freedom is possible. I want to do that on the local level and make Pocatello the example city of showing that a local government can protect the rights and liberties of its people, and it doesn't have to wait. So if you're living, you know, somewhere else, non-Pocatello, can't vote in the race, I think you do still have a horse in the race. I think everyone should want to see cities succeed in defending the rights and liberties of their people, and that we should turn around wherever you're living in Idaho.
Yeah.
Ask your county government, ask your city government, what are you going to do to protect my freedoms from higher levels of encroachment on my liberty?
So you've talked a lot today, David, about personal liberty, which I find incredibly important. Mm-hmm. But there are issues that lie outside of that paradigm.
Sure.
Things like economic development and simply operating like the maintenance department and doing those things. What is your guiding philosophy when it comes to those kinds of just the practical leadership day to day of running
great,
a city?
Great questions. So I think that when you look at Idaho's, you know, overall, Idaho is developing very rapidly. We're getting a huge population spike. But for some reason, look at Pocatello, and we're not seeing that. You know, we've had anemic job growth, very little population growth the past 10 years. And I think that one of the things that has really hampered that is Pocatello's high taxes when compared to other cities in Idaho.
Yeah.
And also there's burdensome government regulation. You know, you can talk to any business owner in Pocatello, and they will tell you that over the years, what the city asks you to do to stay compliant and the fees they charge just keeps multiplying and increasing. And there's a reason why, if you look at Pocatello versus Chubbuck, Chubbuck is very business dense and Pocatello is not. And why, you know, over the years, I mean, we're here in Idaho Falls. Idaho Falls used to be smaller than Pocatello, and now it's larger. You know, it's 10,000 citizens more, way more business dense than we are. And that's because Pocatello has had a poor business climate for many years now. Mayor Blad's been in for 12 years, and I think it's hard to get away from that track record that other places around us have grown and expanded rapidly, and we have not. So I think that if we're going to see economic development in Pocatello, there's no way to do it without reducing spending and getting our regulations under control so the businesses actually want to come there. And that's going to be one of my top priorities as mayor.
All right. Well, we're about out of time, David. Again, I want to give out the web address, warleyformayor.com. Do you have a preferred way for people to contact you, or if you're going to be at an upcoming event, you can tell people about that?
Hey, the best way is to get on Facebook, David Worley for Mayor, subscribe to our page, and all of our events, media announcements, everything's there. That's the best way to track us.
Okay. David, thanks for making the drive. Be safe, and good luck to you in your campaign.
All right.
Thank you. I'm sure we'll be talking with you again. 7:49 on the all-new News Talk 107.9.